Thank you. As usual, we're joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Maureen Moakley's away this week, but we're happy to be joined by our guest, the CEO of the conservative think tank, the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, Mike Stenhouse. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, great to be back with you guys, especially as we're heading into baseball season.
Rhode Island State Senator Nicholas Kettle pleaded not guilty this week to two counts of extortion. An indictment alleges that Kettle twice extorted sex from a male Senate page in 2011, and the Coventry Republican faces a separate charge of video voyeurism. Mike Stenhouse, I believe your center has given Kettle high marks in the past for his stances on legislative issues. Let's get some of your reaction and your view on whether this is an isolated case at the State House or something different?
Obviously, we grade strictly on votes. What we're talking about here is personal conduct. If true, obviously that personal conduct is despicable. However, we don't know that it's true. There are some political interesting things around this. So I think on the one hand, he obviously deserves his day in legal court. The court of public opinion will rule itself. I am disturbed, though, at the rush that the Senate appears to be taking to expel him in an unprecedented way. I have warned for years that our democracy, nationally, locally, maybe especially, is in a little peril when we try to govern by political correctness. Obviously, he has violated in many people's eyes, this Me Too kind of politically correct thing, and therefore many people believe we should dispense with all due process. I disagree with that. I think the Senate is rushing in. So I'm really disturbed by the allegations, of course, but I'm also disturbed by the rash actions, apparently, that the Senate's going to be taking.
Scott, the extortion case against Kettle does come in the aftermath of the so-called Me Too movement. We did hear State Rep. Teresa Tansey last year make a allegation that she suffered sexual harassment, but we really haven't heard about any other allegations of harassment at the State House. Is it naive to think that there's not more of this that transpired in the past?
No, but this is different. This isn't Representative Tansey casting aspersions at someone. This is a criminal case. And I think that, again, Mike's right. He deserves his day in court. He deserves his due process. On the other hand, if you're a Senator Kettle, and this is true, this happens to be a fact, do you really want to go through with this? Do you really want to go to trial? I'd probably hire a lawyer, see if I get a plea bargain, and step down from my seat and let the voters in his district put in someone who doesn't have this cloud over his head.
Our guest, Mike Stenhouse, used a recent guest editorial in the Providence Journal to warn that, in his view, Rhode Island is on the brink of, quote, falling under the control of progressive left elitists. Mike, you pointed in part to a sick leave bill that became law last year, but Massachusetts and Connecticut have very similar laws. So is that really that much of an outlier as far as workers' rights?
Yeah, it's an outlier depending on what lens you put on. You know, if we want to keep doing stupid things that other states do, then we're not an outlier. If we want to do things that are good for our economy, good for employers, ultimately, I think, good for workers, then we need to make our state more competitive by doing less of those stupid things. Listen, nobody disagrees with the goal behind the paid time off, but you can't. I've been talking to employers. Some just can't afford to do it. Period. Why would we're already suffering from so many, bottom 10 rankings and so many business? Why would we do something that might put any business out of business in this state? Furthermore, I wrote the editorial more to highlight the fecklessness of the business community who refused to stand up. They knew this was bad for them, and yet they decided to compromise. If you keep compromising, you're going to compromise yourself right out of business.
Let's parse that a little bit more, because we know there are some big corporations that have lobbyists at the State House full time. But on the other hand, the business community in Rhode Island is known for not being very politically active. Why is that the case in your view?
It's hard to say. And that was one of the questions I raised in my piece. Why don't they do this? We know there's recrimination in this state, unfortunately. We know there's a history of that. I think business people just want to run their business too, and I just don't think they want to put the mental energy. They want to focus on running their business, and why would I upset somebody kind of thing. But there is a way for them to be involved without risking recrimination. That's, you know, it's one of the things we do with the other organization I was involved with, the Gatsby Project. So there are ways for businesses to stand up for their rights, for what's good for them, without risking recrimination.
Scott, what's your view on why the business community is not more politically engaged?
Well, because they don't want to run for office. They're not involved in electoral politics anymore in this state, and that's kind of sad. In the old days, we had a Republican Party that had a lot of business people in it, and they were active and engaged, and I'm just not seeing that anymore. It's almost like, okay, I got a problem with the State House. I'm not going to fight this. It's better for me to hire a lobbyist, compromise, and make sure I get out of there and still keep whatever piece of my wallet I have, and that seems to be the attitude. Now, I know Mike doesn't think a lot of the business community. He said they're paralyzed, unorganized, leaderless, and feckless.
Yeah, and one other factor. We've also, there's so much corporate welfare out there right now. So many business associations and businesses themselves are compromised because they're getting fed from the trough. And they don't want to do anything to cut off that funding. You know, 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have all this kind of corporate welfare stuff out there. We hate corporate welfare. We think it distorts the market, and probably in this case, it also inhibits people from getting politically engaged.
One quick question, though, when you say progressive states, I noticed that Massachusetts has a minimum wage about $1 an hour higher than Rhode Island, and yet if you go inside that 495 belt, their economy is one of the strongest in the country. So why are they able to do this, and why do they have such a good economy? I know they have a better educated workforce. I understand that. But their minimum wage, again, is $1 an hour almost higher than ours.
So minimum wage doesn't usually apply to successful companies, right? You know, they're in a growth economy, a healthy economy. When you're competing for workers, everyone's making above the minimum wage. And I think you see that inside the 495 loop in Boston. But we've also looked, and we have looked in a couple of years, but years past, that inside loop is booming. But in rural Massachusetts, it's almost as problematic as Rhode Island. So the minimum wage hurts those smaller employers, you know, outside of that loop.
Well, the other thing about Massachusetts is it seems to show that good public schools, investing in public schools and having an educated workforce is something that really does help.
Yeah, we're big proponents in better education. I don't know what the secret is. You know, in Rhode Island, we invest, to use that term, some of the highest amounts per student of any state in the nation, yet we're only middle of the pack when it comes to educational outcomes. So we're not getting good value. I don't know that more money is the answer. I don't really know. You know, Massachusetts has a very robust charter school system. Our center has advocated for more school choice, you know, educational scholarships so that kids who are stuck in bad school systems have a way out if their family wants them to get out. I agree, education. I don't know that I have the prescription for Rhode Island, though.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And from the Rhode Island Center for Freedom and Prosperity, CEO Mike Stenhouse.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.